The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, hey there, tokens and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, March 26, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and especially right here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, just 7 miles south of legal weed in Washington State, and we'll be making lots of visits up there, that's for sure. Hey, we got all sorts of great news for you today on the show. We're going to open up with our 420 radio news, and the big headline today, I can't even keep it until the news. I've just got to break it right now. The Supreme Court of the United States has declared that bringing a drug dog to your front door and having them do a search without a warrant is unconstitutional. Yes, that's right. One of these weird cases where I'm forced to agree with Antonin Scalia kind of makes my what's left of my hair stand up on end, but we'll talk about that in the 420 radio news coming up right after the first break. In our behind the headlines today, I had to do some research on a company called Unicor. They are the federal prison industries, and they manage all the prison labor in this country. Some of the statistics are pretty shocking, and we're going to take a look at the history of convict lease in this country, which is basically what this prison labor is, and how just detrimental it is to this country, especially when are facing high unemployment and struggling small businesses. Then at half past, we're going to talk to the guys from Hemp Beach TV, specifically Skunk from Hemp Beach TV is going to give us some update on what's going on activism wise in Florida. He's got some updates for us, plus a little preview of what's going on with our friends at Hemp Beach TV. And at the end of the show, we'll have time for a little bit of a radical rant. I'm going to do some DEA debunking today and take you through some of the basics of doing drug war research. We're going to call it Drug War Research 101. And we're going to do this from time to time. I think every first and third Tuesday we'll take this on. And we're just going to show you how to find the government's own facts and figures that debunk their own talking points. It's a lot of fun, especially at a meeting or a presentation, to use the government's own figures against them. It's also Electric Tuesday, so we'll have some great dance music for you today called High High Horse. I don't know if it's about smoking pot on horseback or using heroin. We'll have to find out when we listen to that. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show today on 420radio.org. Thanks for supporting us, and we'll tell you also about the Effin' Normal Tour that I'll be on this summer. We're looking for sponsors, and I hope that you can help. Stick around. We'll be right back after these messages. It's the Russ Belville Show.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Drug dog sniff is an unconstitutional search, rules the U.S. Supreme Court. This from HuffingtonPost.com. The Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that police cannot bring drug-sniffing police dogs onto a suspect's property to look for evidence without first getting a warrant for a search, a decision which may limit how investigators use dogs' sensitive noses to search out drugs, explosives, and other items hidden from human sight, sound, and smell. The High Court split 5-4 on the decision to uphold the Florida Supreme Court's ruling, throwing out evidence seized in the search of Joellis Jardine's Miami area house. That search was based on an alert by Frankie the drug dog from outside the closed front door. Justice Antonin Scalia said a person has the Fourth Amendment right to be free from the government's gaze inside their home and in the area surrounding it, which is called the curtilage. He said, quote, the police cannot, without a warrant based on probable cause, hang around on the lawn or in the side garden, trolling for evidence, and perhaps peering into the windows of the home, Justice Antonin Scalia said for the majority. And the officers here had all four of their feet and all four of their companions planted firmly on that curtilage. The front porch is the classic example of an area intimately associated with the life of the home, end quote. He was joined in his opinion by Justices Clarence Thomas, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. Greens and ACLU push to legalize marijuana in Portland from theforecaster.net. Several hundred people have signed a petition to legalize recreational use of marijuana for city residents over the age of 21, according to petition sponsors. The Portland chapter of the Maine Green Independent Committee began circulating the petition for a citizens' initiative last week. 1,500 signatures are required to put the question on the November ballot. Quote, we expect to turn in about 3,000 signatures and have already collected several hundred in just the first few days, end quote, said Tom McMillan, chairman of the Portland Greens, at a City Hall press conference on March 21st. McMillan said the committee supports marijuana legalization for adults over the age of 21 because current policies have negative impacts on those who use marijuana and on city and state government. Medical marijuana bill goes to the New York Senate from Metro.us. New York State Senator Diane Savino introduced a bill today that would legalize medical marijuana in New York State. Under the Compassionate Care Act, doctors will be authorized to prescribe marijuana use for patients with serious medical conditions. Certified patients or designated caregivers will be allowed to possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana. People with medical marijuana prescriptions would be issued registry identification cards by the Department of Health. Medical marijuana goes even more corporate from Forbes magazine. It's hard to ignore the prevalence of medical marijuana dispensaries in California and elsewhere. But when I said I thought the industry was going corporate, I didn't realize how true it was. Now I'm getting merger notices. Yes, marijuana mergers and acquisitions is here. Medbox announced the acquisition of 100% of Vaporfection International, manufacturer of Vaporfection vaporizers. Medbox was featured on the cover of the Los Angeles Times business section under Wall Street Sees Opportunity in Marijuana.
VapoRfection makes herbal delivery systems. The deal involved the issuance of 260,000 MedBox stock warrants, MedBox sales and services automated, biometrically controlled dispensing and storage systems for medicine and merchandise. And VapoRfection seems quite the catch. VapoRfection claimed Best Vaporizer in Product of the Year at the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam 2011 and Best Vaporizer at the Kush Expo LA 2012. The company's patented designs cause marijuana to release its medicinal ingredient into the vapor. The resulting vapor is pure, virtually odorless, and goes into the patient's respiratory system. VapoRfection revenues are projected to exceed $4 million in 12 months. New marijuana laws being tested in Washington and Colorado from CoinLocal6.com. A tiny number of bars, cafes, and private clubs are catering to the new stoner class in Washington and Colorado since voters last fall made them the first states to legalize marijuana for adults over 21. Both states prohibit public use of marijuana, and most bars are steering clear of allowing pot use, but a few have been testing the boundaries in hope of drumming up business and making a political statement. So the establishments are trying various strategies to allow on-site consumption. Some are forming private clubs, while others are getting around a smoking ban by letting patrons use vaporized pot. That's your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at forced prison labor and how Unicorn is screwing American small businesses. You're listening to 420radio.org. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
Marijuana right for you? When you are stricken by an illness, injury, or disability, you deserve to live your life as free from pain and suffering as possible. Modern medical researchers have developed some amazing pharmaceutical drugs, but these may not be the best solution for you. At Alternative Medical Choices, we help collect your medical records history and provide a physician's review and examination to help you qualify for the use of medical marijuana in Oregon and Washington State. Call 971-270-0262 or visit altmedchoices.com for more information and to schedule an appointment today. Alternative Medical Choices, because you deserve the best in healthcare.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's 13 after the hour. And in today's behind the headlines, I want to talk about prison labor. One of the aspects of the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs that often gets overlooked. And there was a story in Huffington Post today that set me about on this little research adventure. And it was entitled Unicor. Under fire for dominating small competitors with cheap prison labor. And the lead is this statement. Imagine competing with an American company that pays its workers less than $1 an hour. And this goes on to tell the story of Michael Manch, who's the president of a small apparel factory in Kentucky. This company, he employs 100 people. It's Ashland Sales and Service. And it was in competition for a federal contract to make windbreakers for the U.S. Air Force. Now, the main competitor to this 100-person small businessman, you know, the job creator, Ashland Sales and Service, the main competitor was Unicor, a government-run enterprise that employs 13,000 inmates at wages as low as 23 cents an hour. Now, this little town in Kentucky is called Olive Hill, Kentucky, and Ashland is the city's largest employer. And losing that Air Force contract would basically mean shutting down that factory and pretty much wiping out that little town. So lawmakers stepped in. They got Unicor to back off on this contract, and we didn't end up losing Olive Hill, Kentucky. But it complained about it. Unicor, this big corporation, complained that was hundreds of thousands of jobs for its workers that would be, or hundreds of jobs, excuse me, for its workers, right? The prisoners, the inmates. Now, the Federal Bureau of Prisons has been doing this. This has been going on since 1934. Okay, I started doing some research into this. Unicor was created all the way back in 1934. And when people take a look at these programs, you know, having inmates do work, they will often point to these statistics. They'll say, hey, you know, these people that do the work have something to do while they're in prison. They're less likely to reoffend, and they're more likely to be employed after they get out of prison. Now, I would look at that and say, yeah, because so many of them are drug inmates who aren't criminals, who are people who can actually do these kinds of jobs and have skills that could be transferable to work once they got out. It's kind of a self-selecting data set right there when you're picking the people who aren't going to have problems and saying, look, they don't have problems. Anyway, other critics are accusing Unicor of shifting its focus from, you know, trying to help the prisoners to actually trying to boost their bottom line, which of course they're going to do. They're a corporation. That's what they do. That's what they're required to do by law, try to increase the bottom line. And that bottom line for Unicor is a pretty nice one, $900 million in revenue in the past year. Another story came up on CNNMoney.com. This was a factory owner's federal prisoners stealing our business. This told the story of Kurt Wilson. Now, Kurt Wilson is an executive at American Apparel, Inc. out of Alabama, and they make military uniforms. And he's had to lay off about 150 people over the past year because he keeps losing these military uniform contracts to Unicor, to this prison corporation using imprisoned Americans at 23 cents an hour. Wilson says, according to the story, we pay employees $9 an hour on average. They get full medical insurance, 401k plans, and paid vacation. Yet we're competing against a federal program that doesn't pay any of that. Not only is it not required to pay minimum wage, it pays between 23 cents to $1.15 an hour. It also doesn't have any health insurance costs, because the prisons cover those. And it doesn't have to pay federal, state, or local taxes. We got 8% unemployment for the past 4 years, and here's some good jobs that could be done by Americans who need work. But these people have to, what, deal drugs, get caught, put in prison before they can get a job? That's the way we do the jobs here. $9 an hour, that's too much to pay you. We're going to have to arrest you for weed first, put you in prison, and pay you 23 cents an hour. Now, you'd think this would be illegal. Of course, we do have the 13th Amendment to the Constitution that says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States. So again, involuntary servitude, slavery, perfectly legal so long as you've been convicted of a crime. But this is nothing new in American politics. This is nothing new in American business. Look up the concept of convict lease. You know, like you're going to lease a truck? Leasing convicts. This was a system of penal labor that went back all the way to the South and all the way back after the Civil War, beginning with the emancipation of the slaves. After the slaves were emancipated, all these farmers and factories and big business down there in the South had lost all their free slave labor. So what they did is they conspired and colluded with law enforcement back in the day to round up blacks for whatever crime they might have committed or whatever made up, trumped up charge they could be convicted of, get them sentenced to prison, and then lease them out to private parties. Now, in this case, the leased out private parties, these plantation owners and corporations like the railroad companies, would be in charge of feeding, clothing, and housing the prisoners. Sounds like a private prison, doesn't it? And only in the South was this the major way of that this was done. It was done in the North a little bit with convict labor. But for the most part, it was a Southern kind of thing. And of course, this happened all throughout. This began in 1868 in Georgia. The governor there commissioned for 100 able-bodied and healthy Negro convicts in return for a fee to the state of $2,500. Yeah, $25 per Negro convict. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Unicor and the private prison industries are nothing more than the prisoner lease of the 21st century. It's time we stop this. It's bad for our prisons to be privately run, for profit to be made out of imprisoning people, and especially at a time when so many free people are out of work.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, I'm cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's in osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weed.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal, because weed makes you stupid.
Fun.
Oh, hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby, so stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a too deep, brother, don't get in a too heavy, don't get so you can move.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show, 23 minutes after. And for today's Electric Tuesday, I have gone to Music Alley and their PodSafe Music Network because, unfortunately, one of my favorite sources to get music has changed its plan, apparently. The IOTA PromoNet is no longer in existence. It's a bummer. Yeah. The IOTA PromoNet is now The Orchard. And they don't have the same sort of search and offering that the IOTA PromoNet used to have. So as far as the PodSafe music goes, having to turn to places like Reverb Nation, Bandcamp, and Music Alley. And that's where I find this next group, actually a duo, Danny Rhymes and Matty B. And they've got this electronic song. I believe this one came out in 2006, and it's called High, High Horse. Again, I don't know if it's about heroin, because horse is heroin. Heroin is horse, right? But we'll take our chances. Let's see what happens. This is Danny Rhymes and Matty B for your Electric Tuesday.
Open the corner of your eye and try to get behind your mask. Ask yourself why you have to hide. Divide the answers of the task.
It's no evil, just madmen with broken hearts that torture them.
I wanna be evil, I want an excuse. I am the devil, I am abuse. I don't feel sorry, there's no remorse. I am the devil's high, high horse. The devil's high, high horse. The devil's high, high horse.
I am the devil, I am abuse. I don't feel sorry, there's no remorse. I am the
Okay, that was completely unsatisfying. So here's a little Mia Muse. Cleanse your palate with Dr. Chronic.
Dr. Chronic, the one to know. You will find the special plan wherever you go. Professing deeds secure and laid in by the book of investing weed, yeah. Swift release, avoid police. The truth is that it's all about the game. Take a nice little hit of this and you won't be the same. Dr. Chronic, the friend you hold dear. Attention accruing, religion and fear. Always dishing out the latest and dope. Speaking a new strain, giving us hope, y'all. I love the smell, the ding-a-ding blunt. Shit, don't you hate a random runt? He always tries to get into the past. Shooting stories about kicking some ass, yeah. I'll kick your ass. Oh, yeah. Dr. Chronic, I've known many kinds. Potential business to fuck with our minds. Always endorsing the craziest smoke. Buddha beating and making you choke, y'all. They love the beats, the easy treats. Walk in the street like criminal crip-hop. Don't stop, I just got down. Stick around, turn up the sound. Let's kick it with crip-hop. Dr. Chronic, yeah. Dr. Chronic. Can you help me out, man? Hello? Dog? Hello? Shit. Dr. Chronic, scan that shit, rat. Oh crap, fuck, the cop is on the phone. Shoot rap, take that to that, live whack, got it going on. Dr. Chronic, yay. Dr. Chronic, ooh, ooh. Let's kick it with Crip Hop, Crip Hop. Dr. Chronic. Yeah, yeah.
You still don't get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 29 minutes after the hour, and we are joined by Skunk from Hemp Beats TV. I'm playing a little bit of his theme song here as we get him online. Skunk, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
So glad to hear you. Hey, tell us about this music we're hearing.
This is Lazy O'Brien's band, Harbor Point.
Well, that's fantastic, man. So glad to have it. And, of course, we're so glad to have you on the show, Hemp Beach TV, which is now featured on 420radio.org, so people can catch up with what's going on with you guys. Tell us about Hemp Beach TV and how you got started doing this.
Oh, man, Hemp Beach TV has been around for quite some time, since 2008. It was pretty much just... a hobby at the time. You know, everybody's getting around stoned, and, you know, we didn't really know too much that was online, and we were like, why don't we do something that we can put online, because, you know, what we do is pretty funny, well, at least what we thought, and we want to bring the news out there to people and stuff like that. So we broke down a list and started bringing some good news in a way that, you know, stoners like us who are sitting on a couch in front of a TV with friends and stuff like that, that they can enjoy, you know?
Wow, it's awesome. And I've seen you guys, we run into each other at various events out here on the West Coast. So I had just assumed Hemp Beach TV was based out of California, but that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. But we do keep that location still secret.
Right.
But we keep up with everything that goes on, because the way we do things are pretty much the same way that we live our lives, pretty much the same way that most of the country still does, without the medicinal, without, you know, the legalization and stuff like that. So we deal with those things on a daily basis, just like a lot of our country still does.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I like. You know, one of the things we emphasize here on 420 Radio is getting the perspective of people that are in the not so friendly to pot states. And, you know, because we need to hear it. We get spoiled out here. We got what we call West Coast problems. Oh, gee, which strain should I pick? You know, we got West Coast problems.
Now, we're wondering what strain are we actually smoking?
Exactly. So we're going to pick on one of the states today to talk to you guys, because you guys are covering a lot of these states. And one of them is Florida, and
yes,
there's been all sorts of things going on in Florida. I just heard that Puffum, the People United for Medical Marijuana down there, just finally got a high-profile, high-money backer. So I'm really excited about what's going on. Give us some ideas what you've been covering in Florida.
Well, we got a lot of homies out in Florida that have been dealing with a lot of these things, and they've dealt with it before. And right now, they're basically trying to ban all pipes, all water pipes, and even electronic pipes. So that includes your vaporizers, your pens, so
really?
On and so forth.
Wow.
Now, they have dealt with this, you know, a couple of times in the past and so on and so forth. But now, seems like the government is just trying to sneak this one past.
Now, this has been something in Florida. They've been, I hate to say the word, but they've had a hard-on for this in Florida for a while. because I remember a while ago doing a story about them passing a law about something like 75% of your revenues had to come from tobacco. So these guys started selling like $30 packets of tobacco, and with it, you got a bong.
Yes. I got friends who have sent me pictures of this, and they've even gone as far as calling them vases and putting flowers in them and selling them like that. And I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? Okay, well, I'd still like to purchase this piece or these flowers. You know what I mean?
Vase.
It's like crazy what they go through.
Yeah, and to me, you know, when I think about paraphernalia laws, I always think of them as thought crimes, right? Because
yes,
you're not banning the object, you're banning the intent of the user. It's just insane.
Yes. Now, a lot of these things going on, and right now, I think, if I'm right, the bill is 49 for Florida, HSCB 49 or whatever, and that's the law that they're trying to pass. Now, recently, I think it was maybe a few days ago, they had like some sort of soft vote, and it completely passed unanimously within 5 minutes.
Mm.
Now, if I was in Florida and I owned a shop, which a lot of my friends and people I, you know, were in the industry and work with all the time and so on and so forth, and they're really worried about this one because it's not basically come to light too much. And now it's just, you know, if they don't do something now, it's going to pass. And, you know, Florida's actually on a good base to do something with medical, too, and flip the laws. Now, if this happens, you know, that just kind of strikes it down a little bit, don't you think?
Well, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to have a law that bans devices that would deliver medicine that's legal for some people. Right.
Yes.
And then you have the situation of, okay, now we're going to have it won't be a head shop. It'll be a medical delivery device store, and people with their medical cards can go get their hookah, can go get their bong or their grinder or whatever it might be. But by God, if you're healthy, having that thing's a crime. It's just getting crazy.
Yeah, I can only imagine what a smoke shop would look like after being medicinalized.
Yeah, exactly.
Would it be like some of these, you know, medicinal medical stores that you can go and pick up whatever it is you need, but now it's for the medicinal marijuana? Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, so Florida's trying to, once again, ban any sort of thing that could be considered to be paraphernalia. Meanwhile, I understand there's all sorts of problems with oxycodone going on in that state.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of that going on. From what I understand, Florida is a very big pill farm, mm-hmm. and that's what a lot of people have to go through.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate.
It makes you wonder if there's any collusion between the two, if the pill guys realize that if pot was legal medically, there'd be a lot less need for pills.
I would hope so, because, you know, a lot of people go to their closest resource and their most easiest access to medicate on whatever level, you know. But unfortunately, there are people who like to abuse, you know, drugs and stuff like that. But there's no way that I see marijuana being abused in any which way, shape or form. Yeah. So, you like I said, there's still no, you know, known deaths from marijuana or anything like that. So we know you can't overdose on it. So we all know it's safer than alcohol, just like you've seen Jared Alloway shirts on Weed Country and so on and so forth. Even Blazy has one. So it just is what it is. The proof is in the pudding, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, Florida, kind of interesting situation you got going on in Florida. It's home to both Irv Rosenfeld, one of the four legal federal medical marijuana patients,
yep.
and Dr. Kevin Sabet at the University of Florida, who's one of the leading anti-drug guys these days.
Yes.
What a weird situation.
Yeah, it is. It is. I just think that eventually we're going to come to a agreement where, you know, the rest of the country is just going to start falling like dominoes, and people are going to start seeing the truth about it. And a lot of people already are, and they're already starting to change their minds, and it's going to go to the vote eventually, and the people are going to be the ones who are going to be taking care of those things. Just like you mentioned, Puffin, PUFMM, go check them out, .org. And do something about it, because it's in the people to do something, not, you know, the government, because obviously we can't trust our own government to, you know what's right and what's exactly wrong. So that's why I'm glad that a lot of things are starting to change, and hopefully this bill does not pass and we can basically get these people to get out to the representatives and do something, you know, get in touch with Irv Rosenfeld and a lot of these other guys and try and, you know, get them to change things and do what you got to do. You know, it's up to the people that really want it there. And Florida is a very big you know what I mean? Like, it's right after California, because mm-hmm. California does have good outdoor, and so does Florida, but they do a lot of good indoor too, you know? So it's just, people got to do something. Definitely yeah. Go check out your local representatives and do something when you see, you know, something going on. It's about time for us to all do something and change. Even the guys sitting in front of the TVs, playing video games, doing whatever.
Yeah.
Go do something, you know? You're online. It's really easy. You can do something right then and there. Just tell one person, you know? Try and change one person. That's it.
There you go. Absolutely. We are speaking with Skunk from Hemp Beach TV. You can find him at hempbeach.com and also replaying here on 420 Radio. Check our schedule page for the replay times.
And you guys are right on our page, too. Every single page, everybody can see 420radio.org right on hempbeach.com anytime.
Oh, it's fantastic. We're just all a mutual appreciation society. We love it.
We got to bring things together, man. Our community, our industry as a whole is very split. And we really got to try and bring things together, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things about, you know, taking a look at Florida, and you say you got a lot of homies down there that are running
yes.
shops and, you know, trying to smoke weed and just, you know, stay out of jail. And it's tough in Florida. It's probably, I would say Florida's got the toughest, you know, consumer law there is, in that you've got, you know, anything over 20 grams or 21 grams, I think, is a felony there. You lose your right to vote if you get a felony, and you can't even ask to get your right to vote back for 5 to 7 years after after you've completed all your felony probation and parole and all that stuff. You can ask permission in 5 to 7 years to get your vote back. This has led to almost 20% of voting age black men unable to vote in the state of Florida. It's just, it's going to be tough to change.
Yeah, it is. I just think as long as everybody gets out there and starts doing something, like I said, if everybody who just was smoking weed, whether it's medicinal or recreational or whatever, You want those laws changed? You're going to have to do something about it. Just try and change one person's mind, whether it's a family member, a friend who's very plain Jane vanilla. Just, you know, try and give them the facts that they need so they see that that glass of alcohol, whatever drink it might be, could actually be worse than what we're doing, whether it be vaporizing, smoking, however you ingest your marijuana or cannabis.
Yeah, and I think people underestimate how powerful their own personal testimony is, but it's been shown that the written word and experts pretty much solidify people's opinions. It's the spoken word and personal interactions that change people's minds.
And I've personally changed several of my family members and other family members, friends' minds just because of the facts. You know what I mean? They see the truth. You know what I mean? People need to see that.
Yeah.
So that's why we try and bring that. We try and get other people to bring that. You know, tell your friends, tell your family.
Right on, man. Right on. Skunk, I appreciate what you're doing there and giving some attention to these states that don't have, you know, a million different activists in them and a couple different shows on them. And Florida is a great place to start. So I appreciate you guys doing that. Tell people about when they can catch Hemp Beach TV live and like your Facebooks and all that kind of stuff so they can get in touch with you.
Oh, boy. Well, everybody can always go to www.hempbeach.com or .tv, either or. We got facebook.com/hempbeachismine. You can reach me right there. That's Skunk Hemp Beach. Or if you want to like us on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/hempbeachtv. And Twitter, twitter.com/hempbeachtv. And anything else, we're just we release our episodes every Friday, and we always like to hear the fans and everything like that, so we're going to be doing some more Skype stuff, and I know we're going to try and get you on later, right?
Yeah, doing like a, this is like home and home in college football, right? So you come here, I got to go there, so yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it'll be like you're there, you know what I mean? So
what,
you know,
time do we start?
We want to see the fans, you know? So this is brand new. This is going to be something that we haven't even done before just yet. We've tried it in the past, but we want to get more fan interaction. We want to get those people on that we don't necessarily get to because, you know, we're not necessarily over in California, Oregon, Washington to meet these people. So now we can just bring them straight to Hemp Beach, just like our fans. So that way we can interact more and see what you guys think and, you know, hear what you guys have to hear.
Right on, man. Well, Skunk, thank you so much for joining us here. And everybody check out hempbeach.com. I'll see you there tonight.
Peace out from Hemp Beach.
All right. When we come back, we'll time right for back some DEA Drug War Research 101. And until then,
because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Hey man, am I driving okay?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're back,
man. Take a little trip. Take a little trip.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, today I decided that in lieu of something to make me really angry to rant about, that I would take this time to do what we're going to call Drug War Research 101. And that is some of the tricks of the trade that I've learned over the past 5 years of doing my various drug war research for presentations and charts and stats and maps that I put together, and teaching you guys out there in the marijuana activism community how to find some of this stuff. Some of it may be a little basic, but I'm not going to assume that you know everything. I'm going to start from the beginning and just show you piece by piece how to put some of this stuff together. So today, I thought we'd take a look at the Drug Enforcement Administration, or as I like to call it, the Drug Employment Agency. Now, the DEA is in charge of making sure that substances are controlled. And this comes under the Controlled Substances Act, 1970. And the first thing we should learn about the DEA is just exactly what these substances are. You may have heard people talk about these on various shows, Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3, and so forth. So let's take a look at the DEA's Office of Diversion Control. And I'm going to paste these links into our chat room as well if you want to follow along. So you can collect these links. Let me get the screen set for this as well. And we'll switch over to the Office of Diversion Control website right here. And at the Office of Diversion Control, this is a website from the DEA. It's at deadiversion.usdoj.gov. And I'll see if I can slip that into the chat room real quick. So if you want to follow along at home. And as you go through it, this is their page on the controlled substance and schedules. And this is under the Controlled Substances Act of 1970, as I mentioned earlier. And if you really want to get into the entire list, right there, smack dab in the middle, is a list of the controlled substances in alphabetical order. So if that's what you're looking for, you just want to know every single one of them, there they are. You got something that's on your menu that you want to enjoy for the weekend. You're not sure if it's illegal. The place to go, I guess, would be this list with the DEA's controlled substances. But instead of going through all of them, I thought it'd be quicker for us to just go down here to the list of controlled substances. Now, in the list of the controlled substances, the Controlled Substances Act was 21 U.S.C. 801 in 1970. There are approximately 160 substances that have been added, removed, or transferred on this schedule. Now, this list that you get from the DEA's website is not a comprehensive list of all possible controlled substances. This is an important note. A substance need not be listed as a controlled substance to be treated as a Schedule 1 substance for criminal prosecution. A controlled substance analog is a substance which is intended for human consumption and is structurally or pharmacologically substantially similar to, or is represented as being similar to, a Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 substance and is not an approved medication in the United States. So let me boil that down. If you've got something that is very similar to marijuana, or you've got something that you say is similar to marijuana, and you give it to someone to consume, you've just given them a Schedule 1 substance. People have actually been prosecuted for selling bags of oregano this way. But anyway, as we scroll down the page, you'll find the definition of our controlled substances schedules. And I always find these very interesting to go over, and I think it's important that we all understand exactly what they're saying here when they say that marijuana is a Schedule 1 drug. Schedule 1 drugs have no currently accepted medical use in the United States. Right? Marijuana has no currently accepted medical use in the United States. Nobody in the United States accepts marijuana for medical use. Other than 18 states in the District of Columbia. But other than that, nobody in the United States accepts the medical use of marijuana. They also must have a lack of accepted safety for use under medical supervision. You know, like people might overdose from it, or people might develop severe reactions to it. Like marijuana, right? That belongs in Schedule 1 because there's no safety under medical supervision? Not. And Schedule 1 substances must also have a high potential for abuse. So, in this list includes heroin, LSD, peyote, methylquinone, that's quaaludes, and ecstasy, and marijuana. But as you go down the list, Schedule 2 substances, these are medically acceptable. You can use these. They have a high potential for abuse, but they may lead to severe psychological or physical dependence. So in a sense, a Schedule 2 drug is considered to be a similar danger as a Schedule 1 drug. High potential for abuse. Severe psychological or physical dependence. The only difference is Schedule 1s have no medical use, and Schedule 2s do have medical use, and they include drugs like Dilaudid, Demerol, OxyContin, Percocet, fentanyl, morphine, opium, codeine, dexedrine, Adderall, Ritalin, and yes, folks, methamphetamine. All have medical use in the United States, and you'll notice how many of those have a little registered trademark next to them. That's another difference between Schedule 2 and Schedule 1 drugs, that little circle with an R around it. R with a circle around it, excuse me. Schedule 3 drugs, potential for abuse less than Schedule 1 or Schedule 2, and moderate or low physical dependence or high psychological dependence. Schedule 3 drugs include Vicodin, Tylenol with codeine, ketamine, that's special K, by the way, and anabolic steroids. And also on Schedule 3 are Marinol pills, dronabinol, a synthetic THC suspended in a sesame oil capsule. That, for some reason, has low to moderate physical dependence, whereas marijuana, the herb by itself, high physical dependence, high psychological dependence, and cannot be used for medicine. As we continue, Schedule 4 are substances that are even lower potential of abuse than Schedule 3. These include Xanax, Klonopin, Valium, Ativan, and Halcyon. Less potential for psychological dependence and abuse than marijuana, Xanax, and Valium. And Schedule 5, the lowest potential for abuse relative to the substances listed in Schedule 4, and consists primarily of preparations containing limited quantities of certain narcotics. For example, cough preparations with codeine, like Robitussin AC or Phenergen with codeine. Notably missing from the list of controlled substances would be alcohol and nicotine. Although they have no medical value in the United States and a high potential for psychological and physical dependence, they are not on our list of controlled substances. Now, when the DEA puts all this information in your face, it's also important to take a look at why. Why they put this information out there. Why they have this mission to enforce the Controlled Substances Act. And you can find this out directly from the DEA's page. This is at justice.gov/DEA. And I want to get to this one page on Tough Work, Vital Mission, the facts about the DEA. And you'll learn why it is so difficult for us to overturn prohibition when you discover that the DEA's annual budget is $3 billion. $3 billion with 226 offices across the United States, 86 offices in 67 countries around the world, employing 10,000 men and women. Nearly 5,000 of them are special agents. And for that $3 billion per year investment, the DEA stripped approximately $19.3 billion in revenue from drug trafficking organizations. Not a bad investment for a government program. $3 billion in, $19 billion out. Sounds pretty, or got that backwards. $3 billion out, $19 billion in. Still does pretty good for the DEA. Now, for the DEA, they also list their successes. I want to find that DEA success, top 10 success sheet that they had, to let us know what a great job they're doing. See if I can find this. It's under their statistics and facts, which is just a link on their page, statistics and facts here. And the little sheet that's entitled 2011 successes in the fight against drugs. On this sheet, they trumpet their successes in the fight against drugs, which they say 650,000 fewer teenagers used illicit drugs last year than a decade earlier, a 15% decline. Current use of marijuana by teens has dropped 7%. And they're saying this is from 2000 to 2011. Now, that pales in comparison to meth, which has dropped 67%, ecstasy, which has dropped 42%, cocaine, which has dropped 48%, crack cocaine, which has dropped 50%, steroids, which has dropped 44%, and LSD, which has dropped 50%. Yes, marijuana went down a whopping 7%. Great job, DEA. That's what you're getting for your $3 billion investment. But whenever you get a statistic from the DEA, it's very important to take it with a grain of salt, understanding that they have a $3 billion budget that they have to maintain. They're trying to claim success by all this massive drug use drop, as if what they're doing now is any different than what they were doing in the decade of the 90s or the 80s or the 70s. It's all still prohibition. Let's take a look at the actual figures. And what's really nice about this is the DEA provides you a link to the very source of information that will debunk their 2011 successes. Scrolling down just a little further on the page, you'll find Monitoring the Future. This is the national survey results on drug use when they survey 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. Those would be the teens, right? For whom marijuana use has dropped 7%, right? You'll get a warning that you're going to a new page for Monitoring the Future. And you can also find Monitoring the Future at monitoringthefuture.org. You don't have to go through the DEA site to get there, but monitoringthefuture.org. And they'll have tables and figures, the most recent tables and figures from their survey. Going to the data tables and figures, we can get new 2012 data on drug trends and tobacco use trends. We'll start with drug use trends. All sorts of information here, trends in annual use, daily use, synthetic marijuana use, alcohol, all sorts of information there for you, if you're just interested in finding it. Have to kill the Liebermeter. Too much stuff going on in the background. So let's take a look, because remember, the DEA said that from 2000 to 2011, we've seen a 7% drop in marijuana use among our teens. Is that true or not? Well, let's see what the annual use figures look like. Annual use figures are shown on the left-hand side here, and I'll just blow that up nice and large for us. 8th graders in green, 10th graders in blue, 12th graders in red. The year 2000 is about right there. And as you can see, it doesn't look like we've seen very much of a change in annual use, at least amongst the 12th graders. There was a dip through the 2000s, but it's climbed back up recently. Similarly with the 10th graders and the 8th graders, although the 8th graders do look a little bit lower than they were. But none of these figures are lower than they were in 1992, when they were significantly lower. And wasn't that the same DEA doing the job back then? Or the 12th grade figures dating all the way back to 1979, when 50% of high school seniors had tried marijuana in that year. Those have declined significantly and are nowhere near back to where they were back in 1979. So have we really seen a drop in use by kids? Well, perhaps annual use isn't the right metric. Perhaps we should look in trends of daily use, figure two. And when we look at trends of daily use, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, we actually find there are more daily marijuana smokers amongst 12th graders now than from the year 2000. There's slightly fewer 10th grade smokers and slightly fewer 8th grade smokers. So has marijuana use by teens actually dropped by the 7% the DEA claims? When you look at this wonderful chart, any illicit drug other than marijuana, you find something very interesting. In the case of other illicit drugs, use is actually going down. Kids are actually using less drugs now. So never trust what you're hearing directly from the DEA, especially if it involves statistics. Look for yourself. Every other Tuesday, we're going to do another one of these lessons. We're going to look through some websites, show you how to find the information to do the debunking yourself. Make 420radio.org your source for activist online training. That's all the time we got for today. Stay tuned for hour two. We're hanging out with Brian the Red, just chewing the fat and chilling out. Tune in later tonight for a different view with Jen and Iva. And coming up next, our first VIP, actually it's not VIP, it's Viper Hour, Movie Madness Night. We showed Reefer Madness and went all MST3K on it. It was a lot of fun. We'll do one of those next Monday as well. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.